Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Half Hour Fantasy Podcast, episode 15, Halloween special. Oh! I'm your host Peter, joined this week by Tom and Gunnar. How are you doing, guys? Tom, Gunnar? Tom?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Gunnar?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent, right. So, we break for the norm this week. There's been some breaking news in the fantasy football land of Scotland. So, Tom, you can take it away with the game week 15 news that just broke in the last hour or so.
Yep, so we've got a double game week alert. Game week 15, Hibs are playing St Johnstone on Tuesday the 24th, which means Hibs will also play Celtic that week, as well as St Johnstone, and St Johnstone will also play Motherwell. The next day, Aberdeen are playing Hamilton, which is Wednesday the 25th, meaning Hamilton will also play Dundee United as well as Aberdeen, and Aberdeen will also play Rangers.
Right, so quick thoughts on that. Just me straight away would be... Aberdeen's double game week, one in Rangers. Hibs double game weeks, one in Celtic. So it's not exactly, to me, right off the bat, is the most attractive double game weeks. We'll start with you, Gunnar.
Yeah, I think it's only good fixtures if you think about if you have the players already, yeah, that at least they're playing again, I suppose. So if you're looking at captaining someone, or that could be a thing, but on first glance, it's not the best games to be doubling up on any players.
It's just, suppose it'll just be a case of, as you said there, if you've got four or five players for the team, you're just getting double points that week and six added up. What's your thoughts, Tom, on double game week, the fixtures that's announced?
At first glance, I would say I'm quite excited about Kevin Nisbet because he's playing St Johnstone and he's also playing a shambolic Celtic defence. So there might be some points in there for him. Other fixtures I'm not too excited about. It seems like teams have one really good fixture and then one tricky fixture, so it's a tough one to navigate.
Right, okay. I suppose we're a couple of weeks away for that yet anyway, international break in between, so much to discuss between then, and a lot of things can happen, a lot of clubs by that point, if you know what I mean. Right, we'll go to the Fantasy Scotland first then. So the average for the game week was 39, and I believe... I'll talk us through it. Tom, you had 58 points, but you took a 4-point hit, and that was up to 24th. Gunnar, you had 72 points, a 4-point hit, so 68, and that was you up 1-6. And I had 50 points with a minus 4 for 46, but I still only got 5 places, 55. So still green arrows, I can't complain with that. So I'll do my team first because I had the lowest points, and then I'll go to you and talk us through your team, what they missed out on. So I had McGregor in goals for a clean sheet. Captain Tavernier is now just tried and tested, 20 points at the back. A back line return, nothing. Doi came on for 1 point, so nothing there. Conway was who I brought in this week for St Johnstone. That was my hit, so a 4-point hit for a 3-point return, so it didn't really work out. Kilty 2, McCrory nothing because he got booked and he didn't start the game, I'm right now. And Ferguson 12 points, so I'm happy with that, but I'm quite sure a lot is on Ferguson, so I don't know if that's much of a differential. And up front was horrible. Watkins 1 point, Ayeti 2 points, and Shanklin 2 points. So we'll start with you, Tom. My talks for your team.
Yeah, so I had Aberdeen's Lewis in goals for 0 points. A captain Tavernier for 20. I had Duffy and Ayat, both 0 points, and Goldson was brought in place of Considine, and he got me 7 points. I also had Ferguson, 12 points there. Kilty gave me 2, and also brought in Conway as well. He made way for He came in for Arfield, sorry. Kabamba, 2 points. Nisbet was my vice for 10 points, and Shankland got me 2 points.
Not bad. And Gunnar, as we seem to come every week, you've got the highest points of the three. Do you want to talk us through your points?
So I had Marciano on goal for 7 points. I also captained Tavernier for 20 points. Duffy, zero. Brought in Goldson for Barisic this week, made him my vice captain. That's 12 points. And also 12 points from Ferguson. Two of Kilty, 3 points for Kent. I got 6 points off Ryan Hedges. Very happy about that. Then I brought in Kabamba. That was my hit, I think. Give me 2 points, so didn't work. Nisbet, 6 points, and Shanklin, 2 points.
Not too bad at all. I thought my score was quite poor, but I suppose I'm looking for other ones. I'm still above average, up 5 points. I can't complain. So going forward then, obviously the next week is the blank game week. What any transfers planned now, a week ahead of it? I've already made mine. I've brought in Forrest from Livingston, and I've took out McCrory for Aberdeen. I just don't think... I brought in McCrory, it kind of worked at the start, but he plays everywhere. He's not nailed in any position, and recently he's been dropped to the bench, so I think I'm just going to play on Forrest, who he's a cheap asset in midfield. I know he's not nailed on to play every week, but he's playing next week, and he's returning quite well, so he might be, eventually over time, my fifth choice cheap midfielder. I suppose I'm late to the bandwagon. I can't believe he's really done this. So, what's your thoughts going forward this week? You know, have you decided what you're doing yet? Oh, sorry for a going. I have now got, in this game, I have got 7 players playing, and I'm not taking a hit, so I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take the hit and play with 7 players, and that's it. So, Gunnar, on you go. Any thoughts this week?
Yeah, I'm looking at my team, so I have 7 players as well, but that's if you count Spurle and if he's back fit. So, I'm looking at potentially 6 players only. If I hear that Spurle isn't playing the game at the weekend, then I might, I might do a transfer there. Maybe bring Guthrie back because, yeah. Then if Spurle isn't fit, then it just hasn't worked out. So I'm looking at bringing in a cheap defender then for him, and Guthrie is playing at least. I also like Tony Watt maybe as a striker, but I don't really want to lose Nisbet and Motherwell have Celtic, I think, in game week 14. So that would be more of like a quick fix, and I don't think it's worth it. So not a lot I'm looking at. So it's only going to be the one free transfer. I'm not really set on what I'm going to do though.
So like we discussed last week, we're not going to really get too much worked up about this blank game week. It's only 1 week. Everybody's on the same kind of foot. What about you, Tom? What's your thoughts going forward in the next week, transfers or changes?
Well, I've got Duffy and Ayer, so I'm looking to get rid of one of those guys. Most likely Duffy. I was looking at other teams, and we know Aberdeen and Hibs are quite good defensively, but they both have a blank. And then they've got tricky fixtures afterwards. Aberdeen's got Hibs, then Rangers, and Hibs have Aberdeen, then Celtic. So I'm trying to think outside the sort of top four there. I was having a wee look around. I was thinking about maybe going for Serrano. He's a Livingston left back. He's already got a goal and 2 assists this season. He put a decent ball in against Rangers as well. I was impressed with him on the weekend. So I might take a chance on him, see how things go.
Okay. And sorry, I meant to ask you, how many players have you got available for this next week?
As it stands, 8. But if I get rid of Duffy, it'll be 9.
So that'll be 9 with your free transfer?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's good footing, I suppose. Right, we'll move on to our league. The top three, there's no much change. It's all the same three guys. Wolf Tone, Tony McLennan, 61 points. So he's total 752. He's first. I sort of knew up one, Chris Bristow, 57 points, 713 points. And down to third, Conquering Lions, Robbie Dempsey, 53 points, 713 in total. And you have to go down all the way to 80th in the league. As I scroll down here on this app, 80th in the league for the highest game week score. And it's COVID Dodgers, McBilly McCallum. Now that might ring a bell, because see last week, the same Billy McCallum had the highest score in the FPL, his team called COVID Dodgers. Now he's got it this week in the
right
game, COVID Dodgers. And he's a caravan friend, so I'll give you a shout out. Caravan friend. I'm going to talk for his team. He also, a wee bit of cheating, he bench boost Dan Wildcardin, so he also seen what he wanted to ahead of the game. McGregor in goals, Golson, Tavernier, captain and vice-captain. That was Captain Tavernier. Hanlon at the back for a clean sheet. He's got Ferguson for 12 points, Christie for 6, McCrory none, Conway 3, up front Kabamba, Pittman and Nisbet, 6 points for Nisbet there. And off the bench, you get 3 points for McGregor and 1 for Doig. So not bad, not bad return for his wild card, I suppose. But he's languishing down 8th position, but I think he's dropped up quite a few scores there. So we'll see how he goes in the next couple of weeks. So what about next? The results then. So ready to go on to the results, guys?
Yeah. Sure.
Thomas, will you shine? Because you've got stats aplenty here. Kilmarnock 0, Hibs 1. So it's a Nisbet goal. The Doig won the penalty and a clean sheet for Hibs. So you want to talk us through that? Start with you, Tom.
So during that game, Kilmarnock actually had 0 shots on target. However, I'm not too concerned because looking back at the highlights, Kabamba seemed to be the target man. He was getting into good positions. I quite like Burke. He was top for key passes in the game with 3. He was making some decent crosses into the box as well. They were just unfortunate. It didn't really come off for them. I thought Hibs were good. They grew into the game. I like Newell. He's usually quite high for key passes. It has quite a high assist potential, but in this game particularly, he was top for shots with 3. He had 1 shot on, 1 off, and 1 was blocked. He also created a big chance for Hallberg too, which was unfortunately missed. I was quite surprised to see that it's only 39.8% of managers own Nisbet. He's now got 7 goals and 1 assist in 10 games, and he's the highest scoring striker, so I think for your forward line, it's probably Nisbet and 2 others, really.
Well, just on that, I was going to bring in Nisbet this week, but I brought in Shankland. Clearly, because of the blank cards are going to miss it, so that's the only reason I didn't bring him in. But I think he'll be in either next week or two, because who have I got? Ajeti? I'm just going to come off Celtic players altogether, I think, right now, because I don't see any value or any guaranteed position playing. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on this game, Gunnar?
Maybe on Joe Newell. He's on 4 yellow cards already, so 1 more and he'll miss a game, I suppose, no?
Nice.
Yeah. Thoughts on this game? Well, good penalty from Nisbet. I have Marciano on goal, not a clean sheet, was happy with that. And that's did you say what Nisbet's ownership is like? Do we have that number?
39.8%.
Right, okay. Well, that's pretty high, yeah. That's me from the game. Yeah, that's me right. From the game. Yeah.
I probably do it if people try to keep ownership of Celtic Rangers players. I think up front probably missing out on Nisbet when it's probably the right way to do is jump out on Nisbet. Because even on the Rangers players are locked on to play up front either. It was the 4 this week for Rangers, so there's too much rotation risk. Right, move on to Motherwell 4, Ross County 0. It was some ghoulish defending by Ross County here. Maybe Halloween reference. You want to start us off here, Gunnar?
Right,
stats. What, O'Hara, Lang, Cole, goals, McKinley, I can't even remember writing here, Gallagher, what, assists, and a clean sheet. On you go, Gunnar, sorry.
The first thing I have in my notes is, oh dear, Ross County's defending again. So that was really bad. I mean, 4-0 for Motherwell, they're coming out of their little break that they had for like 3 weeks, I think they were off. Tony Watt, he got a goal and assist, and he won a penalty, 11 points return there for him. I think I looked it up earlier. It was his first 90 minutes of the season that he actually played the full game. Carson was taken off during the game in like the first half an hour. So their reserve, the Motherwell reserve keeper, Chapman, he's 2 million. Yeah, I suppose it remains to be seen how long Carson is out for, and yeah, how good Chapman is. He's not going to be any good if he's only cheap, but can't keep a clean sheet. Declan Gallagher, he clean sheet and assist for him, and I think that's 3 wins in 4 games now for Motherwell, and also a 3rd clean sheet as well.
Excellent. What about you, Tom?
I've got noted down O'Hara. He's on penalties just now. He's actually a 3.6 million midfielder, but he played as a centre-back in this game. Last season, he only got 1 goal and 1 assist, but he's got 2 goals already, so that's quite promising. He was playing as centre-back because Motherwell do have quite a lot of injuries. Mugabe, Lamy, Grimshaw, Dunn are all out. I don't know how long he'll be playing in the centre-back position. I also like to look at Polworth. He's another midfielder, 4.1 million. He took a shot just wide of the post. Last season, he was up there for assists. He actually got 11 assists last season. And during this game, he made five key passes, so it looks like he could fulfil those numbers again. Tony Watt was obviously the man of the match. He looks quite promising going forward. Another forward there was Devante Coe. He was at Motherwell last season. He made 19 appearances, got 4 goals and 1 assist. So he's already 1 goal up. So again, he could be a decent prospect too. For Ross County, I thought Ross Stewart seems to be the sort of talisman for them. He did have a few chances, but Aaron Chapman managed to bat the ball away a few times.
Oh, dear.
He's actually pretty high. He's the fourth highest scoring striker in the game, but he's had no return since game week 4, so he's going to have to do a lot better than that to get in anybody's teams. But all in all, quite impressed with Motherwell. And because of obviously the lack of game time, they're going to have a couple of games to get rescheduled. So there's the prospect of double game weeks in the future as well.
Well, that's what was going to be my kind of only point. It was definitely played through when we came back. I suppose it is a perfect fixture to come back to. Ross County at home, who seem to be one of the worst teams in the league defensively. And he came out with all guns blazing. They had a point to prove. They proved it. And you said maybe going forward, Motherwell asset or two could be in your team or squad going forward. The next game is one I had the pleasure to watch live at my beach resort. I was sitting watching the game. St Johnstone 0, Dundee United 0, so both clean sheets. Now, the game did end up becoming quite boring as the game kind of petered out, but the first half was quite decent, I thought. I thought for all St Johnstone looked good last week, I thought Dundee United controlled the game quite well, but Shankland looked like it was dropping deep to get involved. It seemed to be the tactics both teams kind of tailored to kind of nullify each other. And as much as it was maybe exciting end to end, it only got to a certain point end to end. Is it Seacrest? Is it the keeper that you said? Seacrest?
Seacrest. Yep.
A couple of decent saves. But getting into the second half, I mean, I think I nearly fell asleep watching it because the game just kind of petered out and had just a dull affair. I don't know if anyone's caught the highlights. What's your thoughts on that, Tom?
I caught the highlights. Kilmarnock, I said I wasn't concerned about because it looked like they were creating chances, but Dundee United, I am particularly concerned about. They've only had 6 shots on target in the last 4 league games. So just to put that in perspective, we've just talked about Motherwell and Ross County. They both had 5 shots each on target in that one game. And just to pull another example, Livy are lower down in the table. They've had 11 shots on target in the last 4 games, and they've also played Rangers in that time. So it's not looking good attacking-wise for Dundee United. They have kept a couple of clean sheets in the last 2 game weeks. So defensively, possibly, you might want to invest, but I probably want to see more for that. With regards to St Johnstone, they're a bit trick-or-treat. They've got all the tricks, but they don't have the final product. Unfortunately, United are the opposite. They've got a lot of decent finishers. You know, we know Shankland, what Shankland's capable of, but they just lack that creativity. They were playing a front three, Dundee United. Shankland had there was Shankland, Clark and McNulty. But they just seemed to be blasting the ball from range. They only had 4 touches in the opposition box the entire game, so it just sort of proves the point.
A lack of bite up front, you could say.
Yes.
Ooh.
Good, are your thoughts on the game?
Tom already mentioned this. It was 3 shots this game, 0 on target. I looked it up. Lawrence Shanklin, touches in the opposition penalty area was 4, and touches in his own penalty area was 6. Huh? I think in the highlights, I seen him take a shot twice from like 30, 40 yards out. That was all that was really to see from him. I mean, United keeping clean sheets, it's a bit annoying. If only Spurla was fit, that would have been 14 points in the bag already, you know. And they still have decent fixtures going forward, but I think the best bet there is going to be the goalkeeper, Seagrist, I think.
Okay. Move on to Sunday's games then. So first up, Rangers 2, Livingston 0. Aribo returned for his first start. He got a goal. Assist to Hadji. Defoe got a rare start as well, he got a goal, and Tavernier assisted, so that was good for Captain Cav, and also a clean sheet. Now, I also saw short highlights in this game, but I'm assuming it was just a simple, easy game for you to control the game, score pretty early, and then just do what they do and send the game out. So if you get any more on this, that would be your time, Gunnar?
I totally agree. I think it was two goals in like 25 minutes, and then the game just didn't peter out, but like Rangers didn't have to do much anymore when at 2-0 up. I think Kent, he was putting Ambrose under pressure there that led to the first goal from Aribo. Aribo, he's 4.4 million now, so that's like 2.5 million cheaper than what Kent is. Defoe getting a goal and like getting a great goal, but Defoe starting makes me not want a Rangers striker, because it could be Morelos now. Defoe was playing roof in midweek. Kent, again, he could have had another assist or two maybe, but once again, no returns from him. And then I think, Peter, you said it before, Forrest didn't come on until the 67th minute.
Good number.
Right. And I've also read Rangers have so far conceded only 15 shots on target in 12 league games, and 5 of them in the game against Hibs. So that's 10 shots in 11 league games. Huh? That's not bad.
They're looking pretty good defensively. I've got to give credit where credit is due. Tom, your thoughts on this game?
So one player which I quite like for Rangers is Haggy. He's kind of slipped under my radar. He obviously got one of the assists in the game, and he's topping the game for most assists with 6.
Yeah.
He's a 5.2 million mid, and I was considering it, but then I was looking at the Rangers' defensive options, and even the likes of Hellander, he's got far more points, and that's with 0 attacking returns, and he's missed 3 games. So I think defence is where it's at for Rangers. I would definitely look at the triple up for Rangers going ahead.
As well, we mentioned Hadji there, but Aribo coming back, there's more chance of rotation now, that because that's, you now got, if they play the certain style where Jack kind of sits, it's going to be Hadji, Kent, Aribo, potentially Arfield. I mean, nobody's nailed on, and Rangers are playing European games, so I suppose he's quite a cheap option, but I still think out of them, it would be my choice of Aribo, I think, because he's dropped the price, and I think he's got a big anti-star. He's one of, him and Kent, if they're fit, probably nailed on in the big games. Right, and then we go to the nightmare at Pittodrie. Aberdeen 3, Celtic 3. Well, not a nightmare for an Aberdeen fan, this is clearly a Celtic point of view here. 3 each, Ferguson 2 goals, Hedges goal, Gunnar was jumping with joy with that one.
Delighted.
McGregor, Griff and Christie goal, Rodic 2 assists. So, we'll start with you, Gunnar. You can wax lyrical about your man Hedges in this game. What do you think?
Oh, I was going to start talking badly about Duffy. I think he was at fault for all 3 goals, or he was involved at least in conceding all 3 goals. I think on the first goal, like Duffy, he was pulled up out of position. That's why Ncham had to cover for him. Obviously, Duffy wasn't very good for the second goal either, where he tried, I suppose that's why he tried to put the ball out of play. And for the third goal, then I think I've sent you a little clip that I pulled off the highlights. He was I don't know what he was trying, but he fell over just on the edge of the penalty box when Wright did his like mazy run through the midfield there of Celtic. So Duffy at all, he didn't look good. I think Tom already called for him to be dropped. Yeah, and then Hedges' goal, a bit scrappy, but I suppose I'm definitely going to take it, and he's probably going to take it as well. I think there was only a second goal this season in the league. Only a second goal in the league this season. I think that's me on the game. Ferguson, obviously, with the 2 penalties. I brought him in 2 weeks ago, so yeah, very, very happy with my returns from that game.
Just like you say on Hedges, he's got a howling hairband. I don't like that one. But your thoughts on the game, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to all, Celtic side, it all seemed to come from the midfield, much like Aberdeen. McGregor's now got 3 goals in his last 5 game weeks. He's not at a bad price either, at 5.7 million. Rogic, this was his first debut this season. He comes in at 6 million and got 2 assists, so he's maybe one to keep an eye on. I'm looking to move away from the Celtic defence, and that was reflected in this game, having conceded 3 goals. Celtic strikers aren't great either. I mean, Ayeti, 0 shots. Griffiths got a single shot, and he managed to score. It's questionable whether that goal should have stood with the Duffy foul in the build-up there. Sam Cosgrove's back, so he might be a better striker option at 7 million. I thought he had a positive impact into the game when he came on for Edmondson. He had two shots and came close. He also hit the bar before the final goal. Obviously, the referee played an advantage and then Aberdeen got the penalty, but he came close there as well. And he also linked up well for the Aberdeen second goal too. So I think he could be a decent option going forward, especially with the double game week on the horizon.
Yep, I like the look of Cosgrove. I think if he gets up to full speed, he's a very, very talented striker. As well, you've covered everything I was going to say about Duffy as well and Celtic's assets altogether, I think. And I did like look at Laxalt. I think he looks like he could be a decent... He already looks just much a better defender and attacking option than Taylor. Oh, I forgot his name already. He's flavour of the month, he's gone. but Celtic... I think there could be a change in the guard soon in the manager position. So, but there's just nobody that stands out like so firm for me. He's a Celtic player. You said Tom Rodgick here, but 6 million's too pricey, and he's not even guaranteed to play every week. I mean, if you went for McGregor this week, you'd get points to Coffey for giving away the penalty, wouldn't you? Because he caused it, even though he scored the goal. But like you say, I think I'm just going to kind of keep away from Celtic right now until what happens next couple of game weeks. And Aberdeen did look, I mean, I like to look at Wrighton Edge's midfield score, and I thought he looked pretty technically gifted players, and they held their own anyway, there was no issue there at all. But from a fan point of view, it was a bit dire, but from a fan's point of view, some interesting assets for Aberdeen going forward. Right, that's us finished with the fixtures then, guys. We'll go to our predictions. Now, as it stood, Peter had 4, Tom had 2, and Gunnar had 2. So can you remember the games I asked you to predict? Probably not.
Absolutely not, no.
Right. So it was Kelly and Hibs. So Peter said 1-1, so no points. Tom, you said 2-0 Hibs, so 1 point for you. Gunnar, you said 2-1 Hibs, so 1 point for you. Obviously, the game I picked was the other one, was it was called off, so St Mirren and Hamill didn't happen, so that's 2-1. The next game was Aberdeen and Celtic, and we all got the right result. It was a draw. I said 1-1. Tommy said 0-0, Gunnar said 0-0, so there was no 1 point each there overall. So now the score is Peter 5, you two have got, so it's Tom 4 and Gunnar 4. So you're closing in on me, one game. Before we went this week's fixtures, I forgot to ask, was there any players in that past game week who you're adding to your watch list you haven't already mentioned? I know he's both kind of huddled about Motherwell subject. Was any other players stood out that you would be sitting, maybe added to a team shortly? Tom?
Sam Cosgrove was one. I'm waiting for Hibs to kind of get back into a decent fixture run. I mentioned Paul Hanlon last week. Hibs again kept another clean sheet, so I quite like the look of him. But I'm holding off for now.
Okay. You, Gunnar?
The only player that I've maybe added this week is Tony Watt, but like I said, Motherwell, they have Celtic in game week 14, so don't know how clever that is. But I like your Laxalt shout, Peter. He's 1.3 million cheaper than Duffy, and I suppose he is the attacking left back, so maybe if he can work on his end product a bit more, then he could be a shout.
And also, he looks to be able to play left back and left wing back. So, regardless of the formation, he's probably going to be first choice. Right, moving on then to fixtures this week. There is only 3 fixtures, so that's the 3 games I'm asking you to predict. So, it'll be Dundee United, Ross County, Livingston, Motherwell, and Kilmarnock Rangers. So, first of all, Dundee, Ross County. I went 2-0 Dundee United. Tom?
I'm going to say 1-0 Dundee United.
And Gunnar?
Right, my fantasy team wants a 2-0 for Dundee United, but I can see this being a 0-0 draw.
So what are you going for?
0-0.
Okay. Right, next up, Livingston, Motherwell. I have went 2-1 Livingston. Tom?
I'm going to say 2-2.
A Desmond? And Gunnar?
I'm going to say 3-1 to Motherwell.
Oh. We're all very different this week, man. And the last game is Kilmarnock versus Rangers, and I went 1-0 Rangers. Tom?
3-0 Rangers.
And Gunnar?
Hey, I'm going to say 2-0 Rangers.
Okay, all different. So, obviously it's a short game week. But what captain, vice captains would you go for this week? I know it's always the obvious answer, but I'll start with you, Tom. What do you think? Captain, vice captain?
Captain Tav, Barisic, vice captain, if he's fit, if not, Goldson.
Gunnar?
Exactly the same for me.
In that order, Barisic first, then Goldson?
I don't have Barisic at the moment, but I'm planning on taking Kent out and bringing Barisic back once he's confirmed fit. So, yeah.
Right, I'm pretty much agreed the same. It'll be Captain Tavernier, Vice-Captain Barisic, maybe Vice-Captain Shankland, if I'm feeling risky on the Friday night. Any differential you think this week for these three games, MD, would maybe risk putting in? Or are you happy to stick with the tried and tested, Gunnar?
There isn't really, like I looked at all the teams, there isn't really anyone that that sticks out as a differential that I would be wanting to keep then beyond game week 13. So, well, maybe the Shankland shout, but that's about it.
Were you talking any differentials there that stand out for you?
Maybe Shankland that I push.
It's hard this week. Three games isn't really much to talk about. So there we go. Our knowledge, combined hive mind is saying to stick with Tavernier and Barisic or Goldson, you won't go wrong. Right, we'll go to questions for the Scottish game. As Tom rightly said, we should just finish the Scottish point and then do the Scottish questions. And then MD doesn't want to listen, then can bugger off. You downloaded it anyway, so it's fine. So we'll start with questions. So Maz, FPL Maz, had a good question actually. Prediction for the average score due to the bye game week. So all you take in here, you've got to take in the average team, what you think they're going to have in their squad. So I'm assuming people are going to have at least two each Celtic Rangers, so two will be gone. You're thinking that there's going to be a certain percentage of zombie teams, a certain percentage of teams who probably maybe not change their team as much and maybe not know about double game week if they're from England, for example, or from a foreign land. So take that into account. Tom, what do you think the average game week score is going to be this week?
Well, I was looking at last week's average and it was 39, so...
And that's five games? Is that four games?
Yeah, so given that, I'm going to say... I think a lot of people will captain Tavernier, so I think that'll bring it quite high. So I'm going to say 28.
What do you think, Gunnar?
Well, if people captain and vice-captain a Rangers defender and they keep a clean sheet... And maybe if Tavernier gets an attack and return, they're already looking at like 30 points. So I'm going to say maybe 35 points.
No, that's quite high. Because I don't...
Yeah, but there isn't very many players to choose from. So people will probably all have three Rangers players. And then who else are you going to captain, say, you know, except Tavernier and that. So even if all the other players only get you like 2 points, well... Around 30, 35. I think that's
I like that logic.
My thing is, it may not be as many people with 11 players in our squad. No. All right, I'll go lower. I'll go 24. I wrote them all down, by the way, so I've got a bit of bragging rights. Same as that St. Johnson chat for last week, but none really got... It was just 0-0, so none really happened this week. But the fight continues the next week, we used to... Right, next one. Let's see. Right, for Rodney McCain on... I think it's at Rodney McCain. It is at Rodney McCain. Recommended goalkeeper for Fantasy Scotland. I brought in Barkas in. Now he's not even on the bench. Injured. I already have three Rangers and Aberdeen outfield players. So we're looking at Hibs. So what you're saying here is, not wanting Celtic goalkeeper. And he's got Aberdeen Rangers players out his head. So other options. So start with you, Gunnar.
Well... if there is already three Aberdeen and three, what is it? Rangers players, right? So McGregor, he would probably have been the cheapest, but you can't get him. Lewis then is out of the picture as well. So that would leave me with the goalkeeper that I have. So Marciano or maybe Segrist for United. It's between the two. But I would I have Marciano and I don't plan on taking him out anytime soon.
And Tom, your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I like Marciano. He's the highest scoring keeper just now on 53 points with 6 clean sheets and 1 penalty save. So I think he's probably the best option. If you want a cheapo and you could maybe look at rotating, you've got Aaron Chapman at 2 million. Because it sounds like Trevor Carson's going to be out for a wee while. And again, you could take a punt on Segrist, 2 clean sheets in a row. And he's got a nice run of fixtures as well. So three options. Yeah.
Okay, I pretty much agree with what you guys said. He's took out Celtic, Aberdeen and Rangers for the three bigger teams, so I would think Marciano, because Hibs probably finished third or fourth this year. So you imagine in that they'll have more clean sheets if they're going to give a set and forget type player, and I would say Marciano. Have you got any other questions, Senatis, that I've not got here? No? That's it? Have you move on then? So that is the Scottish version of the game finished. Move on to the FPL then, guys. So the average for this week was 48 points. And not one has hit it this week, so I suppose that's a first. So I get 37 points. Tom, you had 43 points. Gunnar, you had 40 points. I will talk through my team first. I've got it here. I had Martinez in goal, and as I've already discussed in the chat views, I broke my cardinal rule straight away. I went for the keeper I fancied rather than using the bookies odds, but it worked out because Brighton let a goal in the last 10 minutes, so I got 3 points for Martinez. At the back, Alexander-Arnold 2, Robertson 2, Lamptey 1. In midfield, Son 11 points, Fernandez 3, Salah blanked 4, Foden score on the bench 6, McGinn 2, and up front, Calvert-Lewin 1, Watkins 2. And on the bench, the only one I missed out on would be Walker Peters with 5. And I didn't really see that result coming, so I wouldn't have played him anyway. And I'll go to you, Tom, might talk us through your team.
So I had Gleaton goals for 1 point, Robertson 2, Sace got me 7 points, Castagne 6, Havertz in midfield got me 2, Son got me 11, James Rodriguez got me 2, Salah was my captain, so I got 4 points there, Kane got me 5. Calvert-Lewin 1 and Watkins 2.
Right, and you're going to?
I'm pulling up my team just now. So I had Martinez in goal, 3 points, then 2 points each from Trent and Robertson, 5 points, Rocker Peters, and I had 4 points of Salah, who was my captain, 11 points from Son, Rodriguez, 2 points, Podence, 3, Kane, my vice captain, got me 5 points, Calvert-Lewin, 1 point, and Watkins, 2 points. And I left 6 points of Justin on the bench.
Mm. You wouldn't have changed the team, obviously. That's the way you were going to pick the team anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered much with it. You'd have...
Well, maybe Podence and Justin could have been swapped, but going into the game week, I didn't see a clean sheet for Leicester against Arsenal, so I wouldn't have played him anyway. Like,
okay, you love and you learn, Gunnar. You love and you learn.
Aye.
Right, so do you have any transfers or changes you think the next week going ahead, Tom?
I kind of like the look of Zaha, and Havertz hasn't done a lot for me. So I might make the switch from Havertz to Zaha.
Okay. What about you, Gunnar?
Oh, so after the game week we've all just had, I was a bit like, I'm going to stay away from fantasy and just, you know, let 2 or 3 days go past. But I'm looking at Rodriguez here. I don't know if he's out for longer. I thought he had a knock going into this game. So I think for this week, my plan will be, that depends if nothing happens now in the European fixtures, but I might roll the transfer this week for the first time this season and then see what I'll do next week with 2 or maybe even a mini wild card, like a 3 moves next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking for myself, Trent kind of blanked again. I'm thinking, but I'm not. I'll sleep on it, obviously. We're getting ready, Trent, and downgrading to a 4.5. I'm bringing in, and then upgrading Calvert-Lewin to Kane for the Kane Sun double up. What do you think on that, Tom?
It's a big shout getting rid of Calvert-Lewin just because he's such a prolific striker this season. Richarlison's out, and Gunnar gave us a stat the other day that Everton have not won a game without Richarlison since he signed. So that is concerning. Rodriguez, Gunnar was right again. He was supposed to be out for the weekend but managed to play, so he potentially could be carrying a knock there, so it might not be 100%. But these guys aren't going to be away forever, so will you then want to get Calvert-Lewin back again in the future when he's firing again?
I don't know. It's a tricky one. See, because a lot of people are hoping West Ham this week, so I think this might be Arnold's last chance. And if he doesn't, I might just go right, try to make a move, because they don't look the same defensively. They just don't, but I think they don't look the exact same. And as much as I like Calvert-Lewin looks up front, I think Kane has looked imperious this year. He looks absolutely tremendous. And him and Son just look, what a cracking double up. And I think it would be just a nice heavy ball for him every week until obviously the form drops. But I just don't know. I just think Kane came back after lockdown last year and started playing quite well for him, if I recall. He came back quite well, didn't he? And it looks like he's carried on his form. And he's, it's something to think about. I mean, my ideal formation going forward is going to be 4-5-1. I'm going to just go with one big striker up front. So is Calvert-Lewin big enough to keep that role himself, or do I go for a heavy hitter in Kane? It's something I need to think about. It might have to hold off another week. I've got 2 or 3 transfers anyway, so I could do it if I wanted. I'll just wait another week, but I'll sleep on it and see.
I think the only one is like getting rid of Trent now before West Ham. Antonio is potentially out, so I don't know how big a threat West Ham are going to be this weekend against Liverpool. So maybe this could be the one more week that you give Trent to see what he can do.
I think West Ham look quite well as well. I think they look quite good. They look quite dangerous. I mean, decent prospect. It's something I'll think about. I'll mull on it all weekend. I'll make the decision Friday night, I suppose. That's the best way of doing it.
It's a Friday deadline this week, huh?
So Thursday then. Do I build that guy in the last week who'd done all his transfers? Mm-hmm. Forgot to take to get 56 points. At the Brazil, you know, I think. Right, I will go through. No, sorry, the league first. I'm getting myself. 2 seconds. Right, our league. I'm forgotten. So the top three, no change in 1 and 2. Pick Nick George, Daniel Arnott, 37 points, 391 total. Second, our very own Gunnar, Los Pimentel Torres. I'll get that right 1 week. 40 points, 382. Third, up to third, is another caravan friend, Hugh Wardrobe, Migs Guessing Game, so another friend. You'll get that one when he listens to it. And our highest score of the week is down to 6. The Y returns, Salma Sabin, I think that's his name, 86 points. You look through his team, very impressive. Bamford up front, Vardy and Ings, so quite a potent forward line there. Costa, Son, Rodriguez, Mane, Justin Castagne, Gabriel and Martinez. And he's up in the 400k overall with that score, so that's pretty good score. And right, let's move on to the results then. Tom, again, this is you shining. Let's talk us through. I'll go through quite quick, then you hit the stats. So the results past week were Aston Villa 0, Leeds 3, West Ham 1, Man City 1, Fulham 1, Crystal Palace 2, Manchester United Chelsea 0-0, Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1, Southampton 2, Everton 0, Wolves 1, Newcastle 1, Arsenal 0, Leicester 1, Brighton, West Brom 1 each, and Burnley 0, Spurs 1. So we'll start with you, Tom. Any thoughts on any of the games?
So Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 1. I thought Salah was quite unlucky during the game. He was offside for one of the goals. He hit the post. He was my captain, so I wasn't too pleased with that. Liverpool did look poor in the first half. I thought they're kind of missing Virgil van Dijk, I think. The Sheffield United penalty for me wasn't a penalty. I wasn't too happy with that. I really thought Liverpool should have got the clean sheet there. West Ham United, Man City, Cancelo, he's only been getting game time since last game week. It was game week 5, and he's already got 1 clean sheet and 1 assist. I thought he looked really good going forward. He was creating a lot for Man City. I think he's got good potential for assists. West Ham, as we know, they've had a great start to the season, and they've got another big scalp there. They managed to get a point from Man City, which is not always easy to do. Granted, Man City haven't been the best of form. Antonio looked good for the goal. Yeah, he's been really attacking, and his stats are good. After Liverpool next week, their fixtures are Fulham, Sheffield United, Aston Villa, Man United, Leeds and Crystal Palace. So I've said it last week, I'm just biding my time, waiting for the difficult fixtures to get out of the way before I start investing, but I quite like the look of that. Chelsea got the clean sheet. That is the second clean sheet of the season for Mendy. I think he makes a massive difference to the Chelsea defence. I was looking at the stats. Kepa had the worst save rate in Europe's top 5 leagues last season. And Chelsea have conceded 1.5 goals every league game since Frank Lampard came in charge. So Kepa was there well before Lampard. I think Kepa is one of the a big factor in that. I quite like the look of Chilwell. He's on free kicks. He's very attacking. He's already got a goal and two assists this season, and that's only in three games because he's only been starting recently as well. So I quite like the look of him. And if Mendy can make this big difference, then they'll be starting keeping clean sheets as well. Other than that, I think it was a kind of uneventful weekend. Only other thing I've got is Patrick Bamford's hat trick. Grealish looked really good in that game. He was creating a lot of chances. He had a shot cleared off the line by Ayling. The only downside for Bamford though is the fixtures coming up for Leeds. They've got Leicester, Crystal Palace isn't too bad, but then they've got Arsenal, Everton, Chelsea. So tricky ones. Other than that, the only other thing I can say is Shea Adams' family will be very pleased with his goal.
Well done.
Nice. That's a nice one. Yeah, worked in lovely. You build up to that, Tom, eh? You build up to that. Right, and I'll leave it at that. A nicely FPL roundup. Well done. You got any comments on that? I take my breath.
I'm very, very happy with how Tom did there.
Right. Is there any players in that past game week that's added to your watch list, or any players that have been off your watch list from the last game week that you may have been looking at? I'll start with you, Gunnar.
I mean, naturally, I've added Bamford after his hat trick, but haven't heard Tom speak about Leeds fixtures now. I'm not too sure anymore. I've added, I think it was this week that I've added Mane. So if I do get rid of one of the Liverpool defenders, I might look at doubling up in the midfield. And that is my update from the watch list.
Do you mean the Salah and Mane double up?
Yes.
All right, interesting. What about you, Tom? Any players apart from what you mentioned you're on the watch list?
So I've not got Lamptey, so Lamptey's going on my watch list. I thought he looked good on the weekend.
He did, but only 1 point return again.
Yeah, he was unlucky, you know.
Brighton, it was an own goal, but it was Lamptey's ball that it was put in to get the goal, so I quite like that. And also, Brighton, stats-wise, they've got the best defensive record for shots on target, so they've conceded the least shots on target and the least shots in the whole league, so I'm liking them defensively, so wants to keep an eye on there.
You're just cooking about because you like Brighton, that's all it is. You're fixing these stats, it's who you like. Myself, looking at last week, try to think. I think Zaha, I think Crystal Palace has quite a lot of interesting assets actually for their team. Again, that goal, the loss to Fulham kind of puts you off. Manchester Chelsea was a terrible game to watch. Other people already mentioned, I think I'm coming off Robertson, so I don't know where else. Chilwell, like Southampton, I'm pressing, but I don't know what to double up. I've already got, is it Walker Peters? I don't know what to double up there. And Castagne's still on my defensive. I don't know, it depends if Leicester can keep like a run going rather than kind of game on, game off. Mm-hmm. And I think, try to think who else. Sias for Wolves. Am I right, Tom? Did he come off and then Wolves conceded, so you kept the clean sheet points? Is that right? Is that worked?
That's right, yeah. I was a bit jammy there.
Yes, you win it. I like Zuma for Chelsea then, but then again, as you said, 1.5 goals I've lost under Lampard. Until Chelsea, I think, clean their act up, or maybe not be cleaner that way. Right, so on to the fixtures then for next week, and then I'll ask you a couple of predictions. So there's Wolves, Crystal Palace, Sheffield United, Man City, Burnley, Chelsea, Liverpool, West Ham, Villa, Southampton, Newcastle, Everton, Manchester United, Arsenal, Spurs, Brighton, Fulham, West Brom, and Leeds, Leicester City. So some tasty fixtures there. But I've not asked you anyone. I'll ask you some horrible fixtures to guess. So we'll start with you, Tom. Wolves, Crystal Palace.
1-1.
Gunnar?
That sounds about right. Probably no goals in the first half, and then Jimenez on 80 minutes and someone scoring for Crystal Palace in extra time.
So 1-1. I've went 1-0 Wolves. Right, Liverpool, West Ham. This time you, Gunnar?
Clean sheet for Liverpool and 3-0 to Liverpool.
Is that your back line talking, or what you really think?
It is in some parts, but that's what I would like to see from them as well.
So,
I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say 2-1 West Ham.
Ooh.
Okay. I went 2-1 Liverpool. I think Liverpool will win the game, and I think it'll be quite convincing, but I think they will concede a daft goal at some point because the defence is a bit dodgy. And the last game, Leeds and Leicester, and I went 2-1 Leeds. Tom?
I think I'm going to go the same, 2-1 Leeds.
Gunnar?
Yeah, on the back of having seen the results and Leicester, they've managed to come away with results against the bigger sides and not so much against the smaller, so-called smaller teams. So I'm going to go 1-0 to Leeds.
And what do you think is the most viable captain options this weekend for the games ahead? And who have you captained? I'll start with you, Tom.
I think my captaincy is either going to be on Son or Kane. I'm a bit put off because obviously I was quoting Brighton's defensive stats there.
Minus points for Lamptey, yeah.
But I think the Son Kane partnership, I think it's just going to be too much for them. So I'm going to go with that.
You haven't decided to wait and see the other time?
I think I'll probably go captain Son.
Right. And you, Gunnar, who are you thinking this week?
For me, it's between Kane and Salah again. I went Salah this week, so maybe it's Harry Kane this week then.
I will be going Salah myself, I think. And if I bring in Kane, like I said, I might do that instead. I'm looking at other games there for other cap potential. I don't know if Kevin De Bruyne's back playing, then Sheffield away could be a good game because they looked pretty poor. Well, say that, they looked okay against Liverpool, I suppose, didn't they? But elsewhere, captaincy-wise, I think I'm glad I've got who I've got for the heavy hitters, I think. And do we think any differentials you think this week would be worth bringing in or change a game or captain, or do you think just stick with tried and tested? Gunnar?
I mean, Aguero is confirmed out, I think, with an injury, so that might see Sterling starting up top for City, so maybe he could be your differential. Could even captain him, I suppose, against Sheffield. Pulling up the fixtures here again. Don't know. I mean, Jimenez is probably going to get you one goal, so that's probably a safe shout. But yeah, it has to be between Salah and Kane this week, I think.
Okay.
Or Son, for that matter.
Do you have any other business to discuss? We'll go to our outro. Anything else you want to discuss? Fantasy-wise, FPL, Scottish-wise? Nope. Right, we'll do our plugs. I will start. You can follow us, obviously, at Fantasy Half. On Twitter, if you like our podcast, leave us a review on iTunes or where you get your podcasts. Also, you can follow Gunnar and Tom. I'll do a lot of plugs there in a minute. And I'll start with you, Gunnar, because you've got an appearance coming up next week on the Pure Football podcast. You will be the roving fantasy correspondent for us. You want to talk us through that?
Yeah, I'll be representing the Fantasy Half, the half-hour fantasy podcast, and the other podcast that I'm doing as well, the Fantasy Football Weekly podcast. They hit us up, and the Pure Football lads want to do a show about the Fantasy Scotland game, and yeah, I'll be representing the three of us there.
Okay. And you get your own plugs in as well for your other podcast?
Right, so it's... I'm saying this every week. Me and my friend John, we're doing another Fantasy Football Scotland podcast. It's Fantasy Football Weekly. On Twitter, you can get in touch at Football Weekly Pod. And yeah, if you want to hear more of myself, get that in.
That's three podcasts next week. We're in three, a trifecta. Yourself, Tom?
Yep. So I'm at FFS_Scout on Twitter. I post stats, I do a blog, hit me up, tweet me.
That mean joke there, aye? Me private joke. Hi, fellow kids. Hey, and that is us. That wasn't quite a ghoulish episode we thought. It's not bad, is it?
Short and sweet.
We'll back next week. Gunnar, I noticed you had a lack of Halloween references there. You were the most professional of the lot is.
It's just we don't really do Halloween over here, so I'm like, oh, not for me this.
Tom's for a little sweet, he's great. So that's us, guys. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from its slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes.
He did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive. Their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?"
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them all is sent. Then you can monster mash and do my graveyard smash. You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can
monster mash. Mash! Ooh! Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.